Good morning. My name is Lamo. In a few minutes, Geshe-la will be coming in. And if you've never been here before, if you'll please stand out of respect for him and his teachings. And just you'll see some people prostrating. And if you're not used to prostrating, it's very fine to just remain standing. We'll be saying some prayers in the white prayer book. For you sitting on the pew, it's at the end of the pew on the aisle side. You'll see some of these. And we'll be saying some prayers in the first beige sheet and at the bottom of the first pink sheet. If you have cell phones, if you'll please turn them off or keep them on but mute. And if Geshe-la sometimes will ask for, some input or ask for questions, and if he does, if you'd please wait for the handheld mic, because we are streaming this, and no matter how loud you are in this room, people online can't hear you at all. And let's see, Geshe-la has asked me to encourage people to circumambulate the stupa outside, that white structure with all the carvings on it. There's many relics in there, primary relics, millions of them, and inside and other holy objects like tzatzas and so forth. So it's a great purification practice, and you would circumambulate clockwise. Thank you very much. Also, to and from the stupa, there are a row of prayer wheels on the outside. So he also says that it's very great practice to spin those. And there are many thousands of mantras in there. And when you spin it, you get all the merit as if you had said those out loud to yourself or whatever. So that's another great practice. Geshe-la has been talking about compassion, and also he has been talking about different types of meditations, and I'm sure he'll probably continue with that. Let's see. Sometimes he'll talk about something completely different from what he said in the last couple of weeks. But last time, explained the meaning of some of the syllables on that prayer wheel, which is that brown wooden thing on his desk. If you have any questions, there are some slips of paper on the rack on the, I believe it's on the other side of this wall, and it says questions for Geshe-la, and you can write it out and just put it on one of his desks there, side table, the one in the front, and he'll be happy to respond to it. You know, you don't have to put your name on it if you don't want to, or you can if you want him to email you or whatever. Sometimes he won't respond to the question immediately because you want to think about it, so you might do it like a week later or so forth. But he is going out of town the last week of this month, so it would be good if you have a question to do it before then. So he was talking about a lot about compassion and the meaning of the mantras. The two mantras. The Tara mantra, which we recite, and also the Chenrezig mantra, the Mani mantra, or Mani Padme Hum, that one. And these are the representatives of the 21 Taras, and the one in the front is Mother Tara. And I usually read a prayer list. If you want to, submit a name of someone, that is dear to you who is having a problem, has passed away, looking for a job or for health and well-being, you can give it to me or you can email me. And I think the little where to mail is on that little blue brochure, and I can add them to the prayer list. And a copy of it is placed before Mother Tara. It's updated every week. I do that every week. And so while we're waiting, while there's still time, perhaps I'm going to read the prayer list. Prayers for happy rebirth. All those killed by natural and man-made disasters. All the Tibetans have been killed or have taken their own lives in the struggle for religious freedom. James Emerson Bates, Bruce Baxter, Larry Lee Bullock, Andre Chauvin, Ray Allen DeMarcy, Mark Pristop, Fernando Perez, Hugh Romo, Linda Smith, Arnold Winant, Pierre Winfield, Annabelle the Dog, Baby Bunny, and Winnie the Dog. Job Search, Roseanne Barona, Joey Gooch, Joe Griffiths, Jim Kay, James Zulick, Michelle Matich, Pooja, Alex Schwartz, Greg Weaver, Sandy Wimbish. Prayers for health and well-being. Kabje Lama Zompa Rinpoche, Venerable Margaret McAndrew, Venerable Chirki Lamo, Venerable Lobsang Chirki, Venerable Lobsang Tsering, all those killed by natural and man-made disasters, all those harmed by natural and man-made disasters, for the Tibetan people and for the Chinese authorities, may the nonviolent path lead to full reconciliation and religious freedom. Roger and Barb Alexander, Russell Allen, Lisa Baranski, Jim Barnes, Luce Barona, Narcisse Barona Sr., Roseanne Barona, Bob and Rochelle, John Carroll, Suzanne Diamandopoulos, Dimitri Diamandopoulos, Diane Foreman and son Brad Wolf, RG, GG, AC, Crystal Green and sons, Jimmy Gooch and family, Mildred Gooch, Tracy Haas Thompson, Paul Hagwood, Francis Hayashi, Leslie and Joan Inman, Kenny Jackson, Buddy, Helen Kasanoff, Jessica Kasanoff and the Pristop family, Nina Kowalski, Shanti and Kurt Latimer, Mary Lojek, Danny Love, RM, Judy Martin and Andrea Martin, Sarah Miller, Evan Myrtle and family, Nivea, William Oliver, Mary Palermo, Jay Pandya, Anna Papard and her many cousins throughout the Ukraine, Lindsay Piatti, Eileen Rubin and family, Rosemary Cease, Sarai, C.D. Shonibar, Basil Shoot, Lobsang Tubden, Dionne Washington, Jessica Whitmore, Renee Wildermuth, Sandy Wimbish, family of Pierre Winfield, Shay Wokowiki, Dorjan Kacho the Pigs, and Raven the Cat. So if you please turn to the first base sheet in the white prayer book. Let's chant Shakyamuni Buddha's mantra three times, and then the four measurables in English, and then in Tibetan right below that in with music notes. Taya ta om ne mune maha munaye soha. Taya ta om ne mune maha munaye soha. Taya ta om ne mune maha munaye soha. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. Sentientam Chandavadam Devayodam Dempayochi Nidandre to the first pink sheet. In the bottom, let's chant the two mantras. Chenrezig's mantra 8 times and 7 of the Green Tower's mantra. And then while thinking about the people that I read on the prayer list and also those in your hearts and minds. Om Mani Padme Hum. 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 Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha. 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 Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha.
Good morning. Good morning. So, begin with the meditation, okay? So, explain the definition of meditation. First, begin with the definition of meditation. Probably some of you all heard this many times. You know, if there's somebody new here, so probably benefit. So if somebody here, you know, curious or wondering about what is meditation, so then I feel responsibility to give you an explanation. So then at least, you know, like knowledge-wise, that you understand the definition of meditation. So, Tibetan word is called gom, gom. So, so now the definition of meditation is like making our mind. So if you don't understand my English, then please raise your hand. Making our mind familiar with something that we have not been familiar. Make sense? Or making our mind familiar with something. So then clearly it shows, you know, what it requires. It requires, you know, only one time you can make familiar your mind with, you know, something. So now that clearly shows the meditation is something that, you know, if you are interested, you know, so if you are interested in meditations, that's something that we should do frequently. Not every single minute, but frequently. Yeah, so then that's the way to make your mind familiar. Familiar with something. So when your mind becomes familiar, then you get benefit. You get benefit. So, need to learn. So then there's like within the meditation, so karma-abiding meditation, like, you know, what is called? Vipassana. Vipassana, especially inside, you know, a lot of meditation you heard in the West. All kind of meditations. So these are all like karma-abiding meditations, like more like that type of meditation, one type of meditation, not the only meditations. this is like falls under the category of concentration. Kama bhakti is like, the best concentration meditation is called kama bhakti shine. Living with the object peacefully, living with the object peacefully, let's call shine. Staying there peacefully, not miserably, not happily. happily be with, whether it's prayer-flag or prayer will, whether it's like flower, your own breath, your own emotions, your own mind, your own physical movement, living there, like firm as a mountain, living with that, firm as a mountain, and living with that happily. That's called kama bhakti, shine. not with nervousness, stress, fear, living there like firm as a mountain, happily, peacefully. That's called kama bhakti meditation. That's the best form of concentration. So then there's another type of meditation called analytical meditation. Analytical meditations. In Buddhist texts, it says, oh, my life is so precious, so meaningful, so difficult to find. How was that? How my life is so precious? Then you analyze. Here you say, brainstorm, analyze. You study, then you analyze. I thought that's not worth it, no meaningful, just waste. So now somewhere there, 650 years ago, somebody saying this is so precious. 2,500 years ago, somebody saying this is so precious, so difficult, so meaningful, so difficult to find. Sorry, not so difficult. So difficult to find, so meaningful. So then you analyze. So there's another form of meditation, analytical meditation. So then another meditation called review meditation. Then in that case you have something to review. You have to have something to review. Could be prayer, could be practice materials, seeing some practice in your mind, so then going through them step by step. It depends on the materials. If the materials if the materials that you are using to review in your mind, if that material is big, then they take a long time. Just give you an example, like a mandala, three-dimensional mandala. You see on the painting, you see people they create by sand. You see sometimes they actually it's like three-dimensional. When you go to Nepal, India, you may see they build. It's like castle. They build. So you still know this whole. It's not design and color and everything. The size, only everything has been decided. I like to build this small, this big. Can't do that. It's already decided. Color, everything, figure inside, everything has meaning. Three-dimensional. So if you know material by heart, then what you can do, then you just sit there, you can build from the scratch. You can build this whole mandala space before you can build. See, then can you imagine how long that take? So then it's based very much based on your the level of your concentrations. If your concentration is very good, so then whatever you are creating, that's become very vivid. It's become very vivid. It's not just idea. It's become very vivid. So then you create that, whole mandala. You create that. Then slowly you enter into that mandala from the eastern drawer. There's four drawers. Then you enter into eastern drawer, which is white color. Then you kind of enjoy it. That take a long, long time. So don't think that I did that. Don't think I never did. I just know by mind. So that requires very strong concentrations, okay, concentration. No, it can be, it can be just normal house. Doesn't have to be like sophisticated as a mandala. It can be just beautiful house with a beautiful garden, beautiful people, or peaceful people, peaceful animals. Just pure. That's what it means. Bottom line, just pure. Imagine something just pure. Pure house, pure environment, pure being inside the house, outside the house, everything pure. When you hear the wind that blows flower, you hear something, positive. For example, don't hold on, everything change moment by moment, something that's not just sound. It's no sound of something, When you hear the sound of tree, it's something, it's not just sound, it's just hearing something. When you hear the ducks, geese making noise, they are saying something beautiful, not just voice, not just sound. So you created that, that's the whole point. So that's called could be review meditation. So now making familiar, in the beginning is difficult, it's not going to be easy if you don't try. So when you try, then there's nothing that doesn't become easier if you try. If it's knowable object, it could become easier. If it's not knowable object, then it doesn't exist. Then you cannot learn. So that's the brief explanations, very brief explanation of definition of meditations. Making our mind familiar with something that we have not been familiar before. So now the meditation that we are going to do is like normal breathing meditation. Normal breathing meditation. So then it's important. If you are interested, so I never said that you have to meditate. Lama Tsongkhapa never said you have to meditate. Shakyamuni Buddha didn't say you have to meditate. What they say, if you meditate, is beneficial. It's beneficial. But you don't have to meditate. But if you meditate, it's beneficial for your mind. Anything that benefits your mind, it benefits your health. It benefits your health. Not just a little bit, it benefits your health tremendously. It benefits your health. Because there's core relationship between mind, body, lifespan. There's strong relationship. Therefore, the Tibetan medicines, when they diagnose, they diagnose based on the relationship between element, internal element, outside element, mind, body, all of that. So the meditation we are going to do is like breathing meditation, normal breathing meditation. So it's a kind of technique or method that you use to improve your concentration, So, called samdhe. So when you concentrate, what happened? Object can be anything, anything. In this case, we use our own breath. If you learn how to tie your mind, with one single object. If you learn how to tie your mind with single object, so that's the way to make your mind calm and peaceful. That's all. That's why you concentrate, okay? Nothing more, nothing less. Why you concentrate? The result of concentration is mental pliancy. That's the ultimate result. That's the ultimate result is mental pliancy. Physical pliancy and mental pliancy. That's the ultimate result of concentration is physical pliancy and mental pliancy. What I mean by physical pliancy means physical becomes so flexible. Flexible. Mind becomes very flexible. Then you reach the final destination of karma biting. Mental pliancy, you know. Mind is very flexible. There's no tightness in the mind. There's no tightness in the body. You know? There's the result of concentration. So this is quite important, you know. Not because you come to Kadamba Center, not because you are Buddhist, you know. Doesn't matter if you come to Kadamba Center, you don't have to meditate. If you are Buddhist, you don't have to meditate. If you meditate, it's beneficial. If you concentrate, you'll enjoy peaceful mind, calm mind. So that's why this is the technique they use to make your mind calm and peaceful. What do? You concentrate. So, single object, not multiple objects, single object. So now in this case, what we are going to use our own breath. It begins with exhale. And in end with inhale. So exhale, not from the mouth, from nose. Exhale, inhale. That's one. Exhale, inhale. That's two. Exhale, inhale. That's three. You count that without mistake. And see. If your mind is coming down, if your mind is coming down, and becoming peaceful. If you felt your mind is becoming calm and peaceful, that's exactly what you're supposed to feel when you concentrate. That's the whole reason why you concentrate. That's the way to be within yourself. Be within, be present. Easy to say, not that easy to do. Be present means you have to concentrate. Otherwise, there's no way you can be present. Be within yourself. That's the initial stage. That's the first step. Out of 9 step, karma biting meditation, that's the first step. We need to learn how to be within ourselves. So then second, how long? Third, how clear you see object. How clear you see color, how clear you see. Then the details, this come later. First, learn how to be, how to tie with object, single object, or how to be with single object. So make sure that mind doesn't get out of that object. The mind gets out of there, so then calm mind, peaceful mind is gone. So we'll use our own breath, so then see how many we can count, okay? So we'll begin. So it's important, if you are interested, it's important to learn, sitting straight. It's very, very important because the breathing meditation is something to do with energy and channel. If the body is straight, the channel is going to be straight. If the channel is straight, the energy will go through smoothly. That's why. That's all. Nothing else. No more, no less. That's all. So then, back, should be straight. So let's begin. If you are first time here at the center, so then I think this breathing meditation can be done a little bit differently. So this one's for everybody. This one's for everybody. If you realize that your mind has been disturbed. So then you should begin with forceful exhale. This meditation begin with exhale, not from the mouth, from nose. Then you, if your mind has been disturbed, then you do that. So then imagine that the disturbing thought comes out of the systems, disappear in the space for good. Okay? If your mind is neutral or positive is the best. Neutral, is not the best, but better than negative mind. So the reason behind that is like, with negative mind, if the mind is unsettled mind, not just you, anybody, can meditate well. Oh, it's not just you. If my mind is disturbed, I can meditate well. So this is, then begin with forceful exhale. Just pause there a little bit, just imagine. Negative thought disappeared in the space. So then if you are very fast time, so then what you can do, so you can sit comfortably. It has to be comfortable, Shouldn't have any stress, okay? Sit there comfortably. Then tell yourself, I am about to exhale. I'm exhaling now. My exhalation is complete. I'm about to inhale. Inhaling now, my inhalation is complete. If you are very beginner, if you are very fast and meditating, so that's how it should be done. So then, if you are new to meditation, sometimes people may not like to hear this word beginner. People like to hear advanced. Or advance. If you are first time meditating, actually the same. So then, short session, short period. Not like half hour, 30 minutes, shouldn't worry. Short. 1 minute, 2 minute, 3 minute, short, many. Short here. Break, short, again, break, short. Then when you become so familiar, then few, then long, few. Oh, this has been done, instruction, okay. So then I think it's good, to observe, why you're doing breathing meditation. So then the idea is eventually it has to be very normal breathing, If you discover your kind of tummy is moving in and out. It's not normal. This is not normal, So see, like you breathe, I breathe. How many times we breathe? Like 21,000 times a day we breathe in and out. 21,000 times a day, but we are not aware. It's not like we are learning how to breathe. It's not like that. We breathe all the time, but we don't observe. We don't observe, but we're breathing all the time. Then when we start to meditate, when we start to do breathing meditation, then we are kind of aware, which part of the body is moving, which part of the body is not moving. Because we are now being mindful, that's why we notice. Before we didn't notice because we are not mindful. It's not like something that's not happening before is happening now, it's not like that. Because you have now become everything becomes noticeable, that's good things. That means you are now aware. You are aware of what's happening. You are aware. Before something is happening, you are not aware. Now something is happening. It's happening all the time. Now you are more aware. So then, something could change, based on that awareness, you could make progress, you know, you could make progress. So, so this breathing meditation is, you know, to one of the techniques, you know, so to develop concentrations. Then you can use your emotion as an object. You can use, you know, physical movement, you know, move your hand, also walking meditation, you know, walking meditation. Not something that we do in Tibetan tradition, we don't do that, but you know, here, the West knows. I'm from Zen, I'm not sure it's from Zen. I'm not sure who invented walking meditation, I'm not sure. I learned when I came to America. I don't know that meditation when I was in monastery. So, maybe monks, when they walk, they have no mindfulness. We are so busy running to the class, running there, you know. Oh, and it's good meditation, you know. Longest it benefits you, it benefits. Point doesn't matter who invented. It's Buddhist or not Buddhist, doesn't matter. We have to think of point. Point is not a Buddhist or Christian or Muslim, Hindu. That's not the point. The point is concentration. That's the point. If you learn that from anywhere, then also good, you know, if that instruction has originated in somewhere rather than just somebody just made it up. No. If this instruction has been taught, it has origin, it's been tested. No, then it's good, no, that kind of instruction, if you follow, then I think you'll make good progress, no? So the point is concentration. So then you build that, you know, through walking, that's wonderful. Actually, generally speaking, any physical movement, you know, unfortunately become distractions. No, that's why a lot of meditation, Tibetan tradition is done by sitting, you know, sitting. Because when you sit, you know, there's no physical movement. You know. So anyway, so this is good, you know, this is good to be, how to be within yourself, be present, you know, so concentrate on your breath. Then slowly, as I mentioned before, whole idea is, you know, to breathe normally, you know. Yeah, breathe normally, in and out, normally. Then I think it will improve your concentrations. So then there's a way to enjoy calm mind, peaceful mind. There's a way to make your mind calm and peaceful. Please concentrate. Concentrate. Or someday, chishi. Or concentrate. So then today, rest of the Mani mantra, so I did explain a little bit last Sunday, so I'm going to explain. I already explained, so because this is the mantra that we say beginning of class. One reason is, you know, all the kids, when they come here, without asking them to sit here, try to teach them something, their mind is all over the place, so I'm not sure how much benefit. That's what the parents requested me, so then I did that. No, I've been here now 15 years. I did that a couple of years. Then I thought, this is not, no, because Tibetan, we don't have class for kids. No, we don't have class. We just leave them alone. No, so they're just kids. No, kids are kids. What they just play. No, so we don't call them here and sit them. And right from the beginning, I don't feel very comfortable doing that. But you know, people are because it's very, very important kid to see you and hear something from you. I'm not sure how much they have interest. No, it looks like they have no interest at all. So then I asked Venerable Hamula to say the stories. First of all, my English is not that good, no, so they don't understand what I'm saying. No, the poor kid just sitting there, you know, so probably looking for to get out. Looking again to the door, no, not looking here. So when thinking about, no, so then that's why the stupa is built. So, you know, I don't have to say anything. They just go around. They get a lot of benefit. So they come here. Next session, they come here. So we must say mantra. So there's one way to benefit without saying any word. You know, if I hear they're saying mantras. So, so that's good. You know, so there's a lot of people in the prayer list here. That's how all this started. So when we say the Mani mantra, Tara mantra, and we dedicate it, you know, for them, you know, somebody in the prayer list who are, you know, going through difficulties, you know, so all of us, you know, some point in our life, you know, we went through difficulties, you know, so we are going through difficulties, you know, we may go into difficulty again in the future, you know, no, who knows. So, so all need prayers, all need prayers. So that's why we, you know, instead of saying this prayer. So then I thought, oh, if I explain the meaning of the mantra, so then, you know, people, you know, when they say, they have something to think about, you know. So when they think about something, then this becomes meditations. As I said, many of you think about something, then become meditation. So, so this is called compassion mantra. Compassion mantra. Somehow, when the mantra of compassion, every single, beside infant, every single Tibetan people knows this mantra. Says, when you see somebody going to some difficulty, you just say, "Om Mani Padme Hum." So, out of love. Out of love, you say, "Om Mani Padme Hum." So, I don't think, oh, this is kind of easy, you know, like, I want to learn something complicated. Don't ever think like that. Tibetan communities, that's what they know. The lay community, that's what they know. That's what they do all their life. You know? But they do it happily, you know. So, this is one important thing. Not just do, happy to do, you know. Oh, I don't want to eat. No, I don't want to eat kale. I don't want to eat kale. When I eat kale, I feel good. Am I right? I'm not sure. I don't want to exercise. When I exercise, I feel good. So now this is a little bit different. Oh, I'm happy to do. When I do, I also feel happy. So this is important, no? Oh, happy to talk, happy to sit, happy to eat, happy to, you know, go. Not like, it's quite amazing here, as I mentioned before, like, how many people are torturing themselves eating cheesecake? Am I correct? How many people feel guilty of eating cheesecake? Amazing, amazing, amazing. That never happened. India, Nepal, that never happens. Never ever happens, you know. They have no cheesecake to eat. So, no cheesecake to eat. So they went to eat, they are very happy, you know. So that's why I say, that I've been saying last, you know, couple of Sundays, you know. Happy not to eat. You know, when you eat, not any other man, just eat and enjoy. Just eat and enjoy, happy. That's not the end of the world. Just enjoy. Happy to eat, you know. I'm not supposed to eat, you know, rice, white rice, because I'm diabetic. I'm not supposed to eat white rice. When I eat, I'm happy to eat. I eat happily, you know. No regret, I eat. So doesn't mean I have to eat all the time, but when I eat, I just eat happily. This is very, very important. Happy to go, happy to sit, happy to read. Oh, happy to shop, you know, happy to drive, you know, happy to clean. Happy to yeah, that clean can be done. Happy to clean, not just, oh, I have to clean. Anyway, you end up going to clean. You end up going to clean. So why not just clean happily? So this is very good. This is called joyful effort. Joyful effort, you know. When you meditate, happy to meditate, you know. So this is very, very important, you know. So we should not, like I say, life in samsara itself is already hard. See? Should not make harder. No, making yourself miserable, eating something, wearing something, going something, doing something. Oh, no good, no good. So need to understand, need to understand. So that's what I'm saying. Happy to say, no, happy to say, okay? So anyway, please don't ever think, oh, this is very easy to learn. I don't think there's a lot of benefit. It has a lot of benefit. So this will help you to develop your compassion. So that's what is needed, compassion. Oh, see? Oh. Will protect you from all fears. Compassion will protect you from all fear. Oh? Compassion will protect you from all fear. So this is the mantra. So I explained this one part of the mantra before related to the six professions. There's six syllables. Each syllable represent or symbolize six professions. That's already been done, I think, last Sunday. So today, so now you have something to think. Now, when you say Om, you are thinking generosity. Rather than just, this is not, this house has been sounds in Sanskrit. This is not, sound is not Tibetan, but this is in the Tibetan letter, but sound is in Sanskrit. This is not Sanskrit, this is Tibetan. So then now you say Om. I think this is very, very important, as I mentioned before, Om. See, the letter here, the big one, is called A. See the big one called A. That looks like a bird. That's called A. It's called O, but no, it's called O or U, doesn't matter. O, U, doesn't matter. This looks like a bird. Then the round one is called Ma. So then three syllables become Om. That's how they put it. Then three syllables become, then A, U, Ma become Om. So A symbolizes body. U symbolizes speech. Ma symbolizes mind or heart. So when you say word Om, you are saying body, speech, mind. This is the mantra of compassion Buddha, which is the Avalokiteshvara. So don't worry about the name, the compassion Buddha. So when you say Om, what you are thinking? You are thinking body, speech, and mind of the Avalokiteshvara, or body, speech, and mind of yourself. Then some case, like what you call divine pride. Make sense? And most of the mantra begin with this. Most of the mantra begin with Om. So now you know Om means body, speech, and mind. It's more than sound. It's not something, or when you do yoga, you say Om. But it has to have meaning. Otherwise, why you say Om? So then just saying just word Om, when you read the text, there's a lot of benefit, a lot of unbelievable, like mind-blowing. When you read the benefit, then you wonder why people don't say Om. So now here, in the sixth profession, you can think now Om, when you say Om, generosity. I'm not going to go this. But I already explained this last Sunday. So today different. Auma Om. So then doesn't matter how you say. Sometimes people say Om, but we don't say that. In Tibetan we don't say Om, but we just say Om. So anyway, it doesn't matter as long as you are saying it. Traditionally it doesn't have tune. So because of that now. Tune can be anything, but there's no tune. So there's no traditions of tune, there's no instructions. So it doesn't matter how you say Om or short Om, long Om. Today, new explanation. Six professions I already explained before. Actually, there's many explanations. They symbolize, each syllable symbolizes many things, but out of that, something important means something like useful related to this life, so rather than next life. Timus, here in America, in English, the English-speaking countries, here in America, when you say ignorance, what it means? Ignorance. When you say ignorance, lack of knowledge. Which one sounds better? Lack of knowledge or ignorance? Same. Lack of knowledge sounds better. So it's kind of funny, even word does matter, people, because where you hear. So anyway, that's the bottom line. That's good. what, when you say ignorance, the, what they're saying is lack of knowledge. No, it's not like, no, not smart. It's not nothing to do with that. No, not smart enough. It's not, this is all just mental projections. The point is lack of knowledge. Oh? So then, according to Buddhism, you know, lack of knowledge, Buddhism believe the lack of knowledge is the source of all the suffering. Lack of knowledge. Not knowing. Same, right? Not knowing, lack of knowledge. Actually, you know, when I say suffering, same as problem. Problem. You know, doesn't have to be pain. You know, if you don't have knowledge how to use this clock properly. So you can sit here just wish, you know, that you would know how to use this clock. You know, you can say some prayer, see that if that works to help the soul problems. Now, what is lacking the not knowing this. When you learn, then you generate wisdom. You generate wisdom. Maybe reading instructions how to use. Now, there's no problem between you and clock. Now you know how to use the clock. Now that's what good knowledge. Huh? So see, it liberates from difficulties. Suffering doesn't mean pain. It has to free you from difficulties. Having difficulty between you and between the clock, it kind of liberates, you know. So that's what not knowing. So now, not knowing self, yourself. How you define self? Is your body? That's what you think. Is your body is you? Is your thing? Or continuation of body? How you define yourself? How you define self? That's fundamental confusions. So that is the root of all the known problems. That's the root of all the problems. Even though there's true truth, conventional truth, ultimate truth, but there's no way near to see ultimate truth, just caught up with the conventional truth, and like so much been projected by mind, superimposed, you know? Actually that's not how the world exists. The world exists in a different way, but we project so many things, you know, so many things we project. So then we get the, like, you draw something very scary face, you know, you draw them, then you get scared. But you are the one who draw it, so then you get scared. You know. So that's called projection. You know. So anyway, so first one, the power of that syllable, supposed to, if you say this word with no thinking, then it will know what you should think. Is like when you say Om, then just visualize. Now all this confusion is eliminated. All the confusion is eliminated. Particularly confusion about self. Some theories say, okay, aggregate, these are the self. Some say no, aggregate is not self, you know? So then you debate back and forth. That's why there's debate in the monastery. That's how every text has been debate. You don't just accept what it said, you debate, you know? You are allowed to say whatever you want to say, But it has to be based on some book. You can just, you know, say, you know, oh, this is bread. This is not bread. That's not you. No. So you have to base on something. Otherwise, no, there's no. So see, you debate. So then, so just imagine when you say Om. Just imagine, you know. So that's all the confusion is be eliminated. The power of the syllables. You know? Oh, that's what it's for here. So now, see, you know. There's four different systems in Buddhism. You know, each one defines self differently. So first one, the very first one, the first systems, very beginning one, or they are thinking, oh, aggregate is a self. Five aggregate, no? Form aggregate, and then feeling, discrimination, you know, able to discriminate between, you know, things, mind, there's five of them, so you can find, it's called five aggregate, it's called five aggregate, you look at them, so you will find. So then say, okay, some say, not the five aggregate, the collection of five aggregate, that's the self. I thought the collection of five aggregate. So now there's a problem, you know. So that, you know, they become a little more sophisticated, or say, oh no, maybe continuation of five aggregate, maybe that's self. It's not easy, you know. So then they say, oh no, that's not, maybe consciousness is the consciousness, that's the self. So then become more and more subtle, more and more subtle. Then they come with conclusion is like the best system. It's called Prasangika system, best system called mere self. Mere self. Mere. Merely imputed. It doesn't. Then that system, everything is imputed. No, it's like it's merely imputed. No, it doesn't exist from its own side, independently, inherently. Whether it's happiness, problem, everything's imputed. Not by body, by mind. Projected. That's called conventional truth. Conventional truth, projected. Beyond that, that's ultimate truth. That's called true truth. Not able to see through because it's caught up with the conventional truth. Not just that. Projected stories, levels, created so much, it's just prevail. So much has been created around that. You know? As I mentioned before, we used to see things without labeling them, without making stories. When we are baby, you know, we used to see things, you know? Just see as it is. Don't create stories. So now all the problems occur, not just seeing prayer, that's not a problem. The problem is now creating so much around that, you know, projected by mind. You know, so then hallucinated by that. So then all the problems, unnecessary problems occur because you projected so much there, so much been created, you know, then you kind of like go round and round with that, you know, so then not able to go through. Again, don't think that I see emptiness. I'm not close to seeing emptiness. It's just knowledge, mere knowledge. I'm just saying what's been said in the text, because I did study materials almost 35 years, you know. But, so now see, when you say Om, so then you please visualize, you know, all the confusion is eliminated. Okay. So then, so now the second syllable is called Ma. You see, there's a Ma. Om Ma. Second syllable is Ma. Eliminate anger. Anger. The most destructive emotional. Unfortunately, the most destructive emotional. Shedang. Maybe there must be a little bit different between anger and hatred. Hatred. Hatred sounds like more deep anger. Even in Tibetan word, we have two words. Shedang. That sounds more stronger. Shedang, that's hatred. Kongzhou, that's anger, you know. Anger can be gross, subtle, very subtle, you know. It's obvious, not very obvious, and very obvious. Shedang, I think there's not invisible. It's like, it's already gross. Gross? Not in the sense of disgusting. Disgusting? As a gross? Yeah. People, I'm not sure. Like, I'm still confused with this word, gross. I'm not sure when to say gross. Anyway, actually it's both gross. It's also disgusting too, anger. So, Shedang, No, really, really angry. No, really angry. All the bodies come shaking. You know, like all becoming hot here, feeling hot. You know, really, really angry. No, this question now. So then, when you say ma, just visualize. You know, the power of that syllable eliminated anger. Okay, so now. So then there's so much been said by Shantideva about anger, you know, in books called Guide to Buddhist Way of Life. Books have been written, so I don't remember. The monks, we are not good in history. So when you come to West, everything's about history, so it's quite important. But there, you know. So anyway, that book has been written like 7th century or 8th century, I'm not many, many centuries ago. Chapter number 6. There's a dense information how to challenge anger. Dense information there, how to challenge anger. So I jokingly telling people, there's a Buddhist anger management program. Buddhist anger management program, chapter number 6. Dense information. Shantideva analyzes thoroughly how we get angry, why we get angry, you know, what kind of fuels anger. Thoroughly analyze. Shantideva thoroughly analyze. So good book, very good book, you know. That's where His Holiness Dalai Lama learned about patience. That's all the monks back in the monastery. So if they have patience, that's where they learned this book. If they have one, that's where they learned. So see, training the mind. No, training the mind is not easy. Not easy because mind has been wild long time. You know, so sorry to say, but you know, mind has been wild long. That elephant has been wild long time. It's not like, you know, the elephant was born with very calm and peaceful. It's not like that. Elephant was been wild long time. So that's why training that elephant is not easy. Not easy. It's so powerful, not easy. But catching that elephant, challenge. Then after catching the elephant, then tying that elephant to the object, even more difficult. You know? That's why this come up by the meditation is about. You know? If you let that elephant run around, so no peace of mind, no peace of mind. that's, you know, if you wonder, do Buddhists have any practice that deal with anger? Yeah. This Guide to Buddhist Way of Life, chapter number 6. You please read that. That's dense information. So, very good information. So, you know, read that a little bit. Then, you know, try to remember that throughout the day. That's one way to train, what is say, verbally, not practically, but verbally training your mind, Repeat saying something, you know, so that, so see, like, verbally making your mind happy, does it make sense? You know, that's all the song, a beautiful song. That's like verbally making your mind, you know, happy. So that's what song is about, I think. So when you hear, when you listen, it makes your mind happy. That's like verbally making, training your mind, you know, that's like verbally. So then practically, no, so then, no. First, you have to train yourself. No, like means need to think. But when you confronted object, that's challenge. It's not easy. See, if you have been training your mind, when you confronted, you will be okay. Or maybe Karachara is saying stop now. Making some noise there, I'm not sure. otherwise, what they suggest, you know, if your mind is not trained, you should not stick with the object and try to apply antidote. That's going to be very difficult. Difficult as if somebody is dead 10 days ago, you try to bring that person alive. That's not easy, right? Bringing somebody who's already dead 10 days ago, you're trying to bring them back. It's going to be hard as that one. Not training your mind, then sticking with the object, then trying to apply, better to run away. Avoid object. you'll be more successful being avoid the object than sticking with the object than trying to apply the antidote. And the beginner is going to be more successful. Difficult object, avoiding difficult object is more successful than sticking there than try to, you know, apply antidote. Maybe you may end up lose your mind too. No. So anyway. Time is finished. So I'll stop. So maybe next Sunday probably is going to be the last. Then I'll go out of country or a couple of months. So maybe next Sunday. So I'll promise I'll finish. Okay. So the next Sunday I'll bring my prayer wheel for practice. I'll bring, then I'll also explain that prayer wheel too. I'll explain. So I've been thinking of bringing it each time when I. So today I, when we left our house after 1 mile, I remember it's too late to go back. So next Sunday I'll be more mindful. So then I'll bring the prayer wheel. So they show you the way you go to Nepal in India, then when people, you see a lot of them going with the hand, then you have some idea of what that symbolizes, what it means, you know, every part, you know. So I will explain that to you, sake of knowledge. Thank you. Have a nice weekend. Enjoy beautiful weather.